Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Football fans are looking forward to Friday's 2018 World Cup draw in Moscow. Joining us now with a preview from the Russian capital is reporter Tatiana Gamozova. Sporty greetings, Tatiana!
Hello, Sonny. Hi from Moscow. It's pretty cold here today, but tomorrow this city will become the hottest ticket for football fans all over the world. The final draw of the World Cup 2018 will take place here on Friday night at the State Kremlin Palace. This huge square building of glass and concrete, which is used to be known as the Kremlin Palace of Congresses, was built by order of the Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev as a place for Communist Party meetings. It's still able to hold 6,000 people. Nowadays, it's mostly used as a concert hall. Not very modern, but popular, being a part of the famous Moscow Kremlin complex, an official residence of Russian presidents. Vladimir Putin himself most possibly will attend the ceremony, though the local World Cup committee have not confirmed it yet. But they did confirm that there will be a football legend Pelé among the guests, and of course, coaches of all the 32 teams are invited, along with heads of national football associations and FIFA president Gianni Infantino.
The top players will be there, the three finalists of this year's The Best Award will be playing in the World Cup with their teammates, so it's a lot of emotion there, and I'm really looking forward to the draw to see who will face whom in the World Cup in 2018.
And some fans will be there too. FIFA choose 11 so-called superfans, the most loyal and long-time supporters from the 11 World Cup cities of Russia. The final draw ceremony will start at 6 p.m. local time, 10 in the morning for Washington, and will take approximately 2 hours, or maybe more. It depends on the show, but we still know just some details of it. Two conductors who will host the ceremony are a great England striker, Golden Boot winner Gary Lineker, and Russian journalist Maria Komandne. 8 draw assistants will help them. They represent Russia and 7 World Cup winners. It's Laurent Blanc of France, great England's keeper Gordon Banks, Cafu of Brazil, Italy's Fabio Cannavaro, Spain's Carles Puyol, Argentina legend Diego Maradona, the Nikita Simonyan of Russia, and Uruguayan Diego Forlan.
It's a big difference from last time, you know, it's the big event that everybody wants. And everybody wants to know, the fans, the people, where to go, where to book the hotels, the place, the planes. Friends are talking to me to pick up, you know, and to see where they are going to be. So it's going to be nice to see the fate of all the national teams and see the groups and of course, for Uruguay, to see the national teams we are going to play against.
While Diego Forlan defended the colors of Uruguay at the most recent tournament, Brazil 2014, Nikita Simonyan, who is 91 years old, was the captain of the Soviet team back in 1958 in Sweden. It was the first football World Cup for the Soviets, and Simonyan scored the first ever goal for the team. Miroslav Klose, a former German striker, will join them too as a trophy bearer. The final draw procedure will be more or less usual. 32 qualified teams will be split into 4 pots and then draw into 8 groups of 4 from 8 to each. Just one new detail. This year, not only one but all 4 pots will be determined by their score in the October edition of FIFA's rankings. The only exception is Russia, which is ranked 65th, but to be drawn from pot 1 as a World Cup host. There will be a little show too. TV presenter and showman Ivan Urgan Urgant will lead it, and the singer also is preparing a special presentation for the event, along with the American guitarist Nuno Betancourt. The main theme of the show is a dream, but what exactly does it mean? We will see on Friday. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Tatiana Gomezova in Moscow.
Thanks, Tatiana. Russia had a dress rehearsal for the 2018 World Cup when it hosted the FIFA Confederations Cup tournament in June and early July. But keep in mind, VOA World Cup fans, while next year's tournament will feature 32 teams, the Confederations Cup had 8 teams. And while the World Cup will be staged at 12 stadiums in Russia, the Confederations Cup was played at 4 venues. Defending World Cup champion Germany lifted the 2017 Confederations Cup trophy at Krestovsky Stadium in St. Petersburg, Russia. The 68,000-seat Krestovsky Stadium will also stage World Cup group matches next year, as well as a round of 16 match, a semifinal, and the third-place game. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, let's look back on Germany's triumph in St. Petersburg, and we begin with Germany's victorious goalkeeper.
It's a pleasure that we won the match today. It means a lot to all of us. I think it was something really special for everybody. And I'm really happy for the team. I think we did a big effort. And afterwards, I think we deserved to win, even if it was a really close match.
That's German goalkeeper Marc-André Ter Stegen speaking after his team lifted the FIFA Confederations Cup football trophy with a 1-0 victory over Chile in St. Petersburg, Russia. The German goal came in the 20th minute when Lars Stindl tapped the ball into an empty net. After a defensive blunder by Chilean defender Marcelo Diaz. At the post-match news conference, Chile's head coach Juan Antonio Pizzi said he felt sorry for Diaz. Meanwhile, Germany's head coach Joachim Löw was especially delighted as he used a young experimental squad in Russia. The 28-year-old Stindl was the oldest player in a starting lineup for Germany with an average age under 25. And Stindl made his international debut less than a month ago. He and German teammates Timo Werner and Leon Goretzka were the tournament's top goal scorers with 3 goals each. The 21-year-old Werner won the Golden Boot as overall top scorer, as he also had 2 assists in addition to his 3 goals. And another young German, Paris Saint-Germain man Julian Draxler, won the Golden Ball as the Confederation Cup's best player. German fan Martin traveled to St. Petersburg for the final from Hamburg. He says he's delighted with the result.
I'm so happy that Germany won the Kuborg Federatia, because all teams come with the best players. Only Germany sent the, I don't will call it the B players, but they are so young, so not so many experience, and you see, they won it so much and win the game.
Now let's hear from these Chilean fans who attended the Confederations Cup final in St. Petersburg.
Chile is the final in very good playing today, very bad match, but it's okay. It's okay.
It's a game.
It's a game. Good Chile, good Chile.
The Germans don't win the game. Chile lose the game. That's I say. Was not a very good. The referee was not so good, I think. But Chile lose the game, not Germany win.
In Moscow, Portugal fought back from a goal down to beat Mexico 2-1 in extra time in the Confederations Cup third-place game. Facing defeat at the end of 90 minutes, Portugal sent the match into extra time with Pepe's volley. Adrian Silva won it with a 104th-minute penalty shot following Miguel Leon's handball. With little at stake on a wet afternoon in the Russian capital, both coaches gave playing time to reserve players. I mentioned Juan Antonio Pizzi in that FIFA Confederations Cup report. The 49-year-old Pizzi, who is from Argentina, resigned as Chile's coach after the team failed to qualify for the 2018 World Cup. Earlier this week, though, Saudi Arabia hired Pizzi, and he'll represent the Saudis at Friday's World Cup draw in Moscow. Just a reminder for our VOA World Cup fans, 5 African teams will be represented in Moscow on Friday. They are Egypt, Morocco, Nigeria, Senegal, and Tunisia. Tunisia, Senegal, and Egypt are in pot 3 for the draw, along with Denmark, Iceland, Costa Rica, Sweden, and Iran. Morocco and Nigeria are in pot 4, along with Serbia, Australia, Japan, Panama, South Korea, and Saudi Arabia. World football's governing body, FIFA, says with the exception of European teams from UEFA, which have more qualifiers, 14, than there are groups, 8, no teams from the same confederation can be drawn in the same group. So that means African fans won't have to worry about Senegal, currently ranked first in Africa, playing Nigeria in the first round. The Super Eagles of Nigeria will be making their 6th World Cup appearance, the most by the 5 African teams going to Russia 2018. Senegal is making its first World Cup appearance since 2002, when, in its World Cup debut, the Lions of Teranga advanced to the quarterfinals. That equaled the best World Cup showing by any African team. Cameroon reached the quarterfinals at Italy 1990, and Ghana advanced to the World Cup quarterfinals at South Africa 2010. In the Major League Soccer playoffs, Toronto FC topped the visiting Columbus Crew Wednesday night 1-0 to advance to the MLS Cup final for the 2nd straight year. Josie Altidore, a regular on the U.S. men's national team, scored in the 60th minute for Toronto, which played Columbus to a scoreless draw in the first leg of the Eastern Conference final. Toronto will host either the Houston Dynamo or the defending MLS Cup champion Seattle Sounders on December 9th in the MLS Cup final. Now, the Sounders are in good position to advance once again to the title game. They'll host the Dynamo later Thursday night in Seattle in the 2nd leg of the Western Conference final. Seattle won the first leg 2-0. In more Major League Soccer news, the Colorado Rapids hired Anthony Hudson as their new head coach. The 36-year-old Hudson signed with the Rapids after 3 seasons coaching New Zealand's national team. Earlier this month, the All Whites of New Zealand went to a 2018 World Cup qualification playoff against Peru, but lost 2-0 on aggregate. Still more Major League Soccer news. Nashville, Tennessee is one of 4 U.S. cities that are finalists for 2 MLS expansion clubs. Nashville moved into contention after the local city government approved financing for a new stadium. California's state capital city, Sacramento, is also considered a front runner for an MLS expansion club. If Nashville and Sacramento are selected, they would each have to pay the league a $150 million expansion fee. The 2 other cities still in contention are Cincinnati, Ohio, and Detroit, Michigan, but without firm plans for new stadiums, they're considered long shots. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, We'll hear from Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Welcome back, Andrew.
Thank you very much, Sonny. It's good to be back here with you.
What is trending on this Thursday? I guess maybe some birthday greetings for a past multi-sport athlete?
Indeed. Very happy birthday greetings to Bo Jackson, turning 55 years old today. One of only about 70 players ever, and only seven players since 1970 to play for both Major League Baseball and the National Football League. I played for the LA Chargers and the Kansas City Royals actually at the same time. They worked out a deal where he could do the baseball season and then go right into football. Bo Jackson, also the first player ever to be in the Major League Baseball and National Football League All-Star games.
Okay.
So one of the great athletes of our time, someone who is very well known here in the U.S. He had a lot of merchandising and video games and all this kind of stuff that were associated with him. And unfortunately, his career came to an early end with a hip injury, but still one of the big marquee names in sports in the U.S.
I remember during his baseball playing days, Andrew, there was one spectacular play where he literally ran up the outfield wall to make a catch.
The ninja move, it was called. I saw actually a video of that. Somebody posted that up on Twitter. Bo Jackson is, of course, trending as people are celebrating his birthday, and that was one of the many awesome plays, and really unbelievable plays that we saw from Bo Jackson.
A special athlete indeed. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, another special athlete and marquee name in the world of running, Eliud Kipchoge, gold medalist in the men's marathon at the 2016 Olympics, winner of the 2015 and 2016 London marathons, among a host of others. Eliud Kipchoge has announced that he is going back to London in 2018 to try to win back his title. In a highly produced video released on social media, Sonny, we see Kipchoge sit down in what appears to be a movie theater. There are scenes from his past marathon wins that we see. And at the end of the video, we see him facing the camera and smiling as the hashtag Karibu Kipchoge, welcome Kipchoge in Swahili, pops up. To say that fans are excited about this is an understatement. I quite enjoyed the one post where the person wrote, "I get to run with Eliud Kipchoge at the 2018 London Marathon. I'll be 2 hours behind him, but I'll still be running in the same marathon that he is." So there is a lot of excitement for his return to London, very well beloved there by running fans, and a lot of excitement because Kipchoge will be racing against British runner Mo Farah. As we talked about on the show before, Mo Farah moved back to the UK. He shifted his focus now to the marathon. And so those two marquee names will be facing off in London, April of 2018. It's going to be a really great race, and I'm sure we'll be covering it 6 months or so from now when it happens.
And I remember you covered Eliud making that attempt at the sub-2-hour marathon earlier this year, Andrew. He came close. He came close, but it was not meant to be, at least not on that under those special conditions.
No, but fans are hoping that he'll do some amazing things in London. It's a pretty flat course, so they're hoping that he can maybe make a run at a record or the course record, what have you. But certainly lots of attention on him and lots of excitement.
Well, what else will you be making a run at, Andrew, in terms of social media?
Well, I'll tell you, the National Football League is making a run at perhaps trying to stop or limit these National Football League National Anthem protests that we've been talking about so much on the show. The latest story and headline in this ongoing saga is that the National Football League has proposed a deal with the NFL Players Coalition, which is a group of players headed by Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles and retired NFL star Anquan Boldin. They've been negotiating, these groups, the National Football League and the NFL Players Coalition, and the NFL has announced that they will donate more than $100 million to social justice issues over the next 7 years, particularly in African-American communities. The NFL is about 70% African-American, 70% or so of the players are African-American, so this has been a very big issue. This, however, has sparked questions about a possible trade-off. The league donates the money, and the players stand for the national anthem and end their protests. Although that was not a specific part of this deal, it's been something that a lot of people are now talking about. Keep in mind, of course, that the national anthem protests started not as an issue of patriotism or unity, but as an issue highlighting the treatment of African Americans in the United States. So there's some talk that maybe this money being donated would be a solution to these protests that they would ultimately end. However, that does not seem to be the case so far, because Miami Dolphins safety Michael Thomas and San Francisco 49ers safety Eric Reed say that the NFL is trying to pay off players to get them to stand for the anthem. They've actually pulled out of this deal with the NFL Players Coalition, saying that the Players Coalition does not represent them. They said it was supposed to be formed to represent these athletes that were protesting. They said that this deal does not serve their interests. They'll continue to have a dialogue with the league, but they will not be doing it as part of this coalition. So Michael Thomas and Eric Reed putting out joint statements on social media saying that they will not be part of this deal. Now, there's a debate, too, about whether this is rewarding players who have been protesting. There's a lot of people saying that this is a controversial deal to give this money to social justice groups. It's rewarding people who have been unpatriotic. But there are also people who say this is a sign of progress. So you have a lot of different angles here. You have people who are upset saying it's being paid off. They're paying off the players to get them not to protest. You have people saying it's rewarding players for protesting. And then you have the positive people saying, well, this is a good deal. It's an ultimately good solution that serves both sides.
Complicated issue indeed. This coming about as the NFL has sagging ratings, Andrew, losing a lot of advertising revenue. So, again, a hot-button issue.
A hot-button issue and an unprecedented one, too. This is unprecedented in U.S. sports to see a league donate this kind of money and to do it in the midst of a protest like this. So, again, you do see those people saying this is the action that all those players wanted. They were protesting the treatment, and they're getting some action out of this. But for some players and for some fans, it's just not enough.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the November 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. continues to prosecute endangered species traffickers. Michael Hegarty, an Irish national, was sentenced in federal court in Miami, Florida on November 14th to 18 months in prison, to be followed by 3 years of supervised release for fraudulently facilitating the transportation and concealment of a libation cup carved from the horn of an endangered rhinoceros. Hegarty's sentencing is the result of the strong partnership between the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Justice Department to investigate and prosecute those who engage in illegal trade in protected wildlife, said Jeffrey Wood, Acting Assistant Attorney General for the Environment and Natural Resources Division of the Department of Justice. There is a frequent connection between wildlife smuggling and organized criminal activity. We remain committed to combating this illegality. In July 2017, Belgium extradited Hegarty to the United States. Hegarty's arrest and subsequent extradition were part of Operation Crash, a U.S. crackdown on criminal trafficking in rhinoceros horns. Hegarty's 18-month sentence was the high end of the sentencing range for his crime. Operation Crash was conducted by the Department of the Interior's Fish and Wildlife Service in coordination with other federal and local law enforcement agencies, including U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Homeland Security Investigations. Office of International Affairs of the Department of Justice played an important role in the extradition procedures. A crash is the term for a herd of rhinoceroses. Operation Crash was an effort to detect, deter, and prosecute those engaged in the illegal killing of rhinoceros and the unlawful trafficking of rhinoceros horns. The sentencing of Michael Hegarty sends a message to those who profit from the slaughter and illicit trade of wildlife. You will be caught and prosecuted no matter where you hide, said Ed Grace, Acting Chief of Law Enforcement for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I commend your special agents who connected this defendant to the Rathkeel Rovers, a transnational organized crime syndicate responsible for trafficking endangered rhinoceros products worldwide. Thank you to our international counterparts and to the U.S. Department of Justice for arresting, extraditing, and prosecuting this individual.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
We
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa News. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.